And I enjoy it a lot because I'm more extroverted and like to see things happen. And I've thought about taking some white doves and releasing them from the balconies one Sunday. And just all kinds of things. Just to something different. Anyway, just to have fun. And worship doesn't have to be on. We don't have to sit here going to sleep. So I don't want you ever sleeping. And so try to keep you awake. And today we're going to talk about truths that just complete your lives. A few weeks ago, and had some things come in between, but we began on these truths that set you free. This is actually part two of that, but just title it different. And we want to continue on truths that they're going to complete your life. And this is some basic stuff because we'll lead in some other things in the weeks to come. But we need to keep in touch with some things. And that is, first of all, that you know, God loves you completely. And what you say, Tony, really? Yeah, really. I have to say that. Well, because so many people during the week I talk to struggle with, does God really love me? And I want to ask you. I'm not asking you, but I want to say this to you. I've had a lot of people asking over the last several months, does God really love us like he says he does, because we have so many cruel things happening?
Yes.
You know, do you believe he does? Yes. But there is evil in this world, and that seems so simplistic and like you're ducking it. You know, the truth is, I cannot and will not try, because I can't do it truthfully. I can't explain every reason or God's thinking or and God's purpose, everything that goes on in this world. I know that there's a devil out there. And I know that right now more people are probably listening to the devil than they are to anything else. And a lot of them want to be God and play God. And I'm not just talking in government. Listen, friends, it's in churches. And I've known pastors that wanted to play God. And I've known military people wanting to play God. And you know, you see it everywhere, right? In your hometowns. You got people we got people in San Antonio and Comfort and Junction and London and where? Bernie and back here, everywhere. And you'll see people want to play God. And they're always the rule enforcers. And they're the ones that go around and tell everybody else, you need to pick this up, you need to clean that up, you know, and do all. And I'll tell you, They're usually the ones, not always, but they're the ones who want to be the head of your neighborhood, and they want to drive around and see if you're in any infraction of the rules. I would be terrible in a neighborhood. That's why God doesn't let me live in a neighborhood. Because you know me already. And what I do, and I mean, I couldn't stand it. If somebody was driving around doing that, I would put things out there to just make them nuts, and they'd take notes on it, and as soon as they drive off, I'd run pick them all up, and then somebody would come by and say, what? Huh? And it just you know, the mind game, and mess with them constantly. That's why he has me living away. You need to be glad I live away from you, you know, so I don't have to pester anybody. But as we get down to this, And God loves us completely. And with all the stuff in the world and all the junk and all the weird things people do, let me tell you something. God loves you completely, but get this. This message must be specific, because the Bible is specific. I hear these guys throwing out these feel-good messages that God just loves everybody. God loves everybody, but he's talking, the people here are going to receive his blessings and his protection are not everybody. The only people that are going to receive the true depth of God's love and experience it in its completeness are every one of you and every person who literally confronts their sins, repents of them before God, and asks Jesus Christ into their heart. This thing of just trying to make, just to draw a crowd and make a bunch of money by making people feel like, oh, God loves you and he wants the best for you. See, there's truth in that. But he wants the best in you. That's his will, his best. That's what's best for you and in you. And God's not here as our Santa Claus. He is here as our God. And he will have no other gods before him. And I've got news for people anywhere, any place who want to play God, whether it's a little local scene or on a national scene, the people who try to play God are going to have to face the true God. And it's not going to be funny. And in the meantime, you keep being what God wants you to be. And let me say something as we lead into this. If you don't watch it, if I don't watch it, I mean watch my heart, I'm going to get more angry and more upset and more bitter and just as calloused and cold as the people I'm angry at who I think are calloused and cold. Everybody with me? We are challenged right now to stay where God wants us in the love of God. So God loves you completely. Just two points to this. Thank God the way I'm going here today. And then the second point is you're complete in Christ. So let's look at this. I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation, beginning in 1 John 4, 9 through 15. So listen to this. Just listen to, follow along. You can read up here. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. Now we get that, right? Everybody, but we've got to let it get us. We get that here, but it needs to get us here and keep our lives transformed so that we're not conformed to this world. Over in Romans 12, offer your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And what? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you want. Know God's perfect will and do it. So look at this. This is real life. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. There's the crux of it. And you say, what do you mean? This is real love. Catch this. Not that we love God and he loved us. So then we follow up with this because this is so vitally important. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, look at this now. Don't miss it. We surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us his spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. So here it is. Here's the catch. God shows this is real love. God, and we didn't love God, but God loved us and sent his son as sacrifice to take away our sins. We love that, right? We love it that he loved us when we didn't love him back. And he died on the cross for people who didn't even know him, recognize him. We weren't even born yet. But he died for us anyway. In our sins. But then he turns this thing. He flips it right real quick and says, okay, since God did this for you, then you need to know that we surely ought to love each other. Now listen to me. This is where we have to watch. We love the part where God loved us so much that he gave his life for us through his son, Jesus Christ. But now it's our responsibility to show that same love to a people out here that we don't want to love. And he could have said the same thing about us and said, well, I didn't want to love you. He didn't say that. He could have, but he wanted to love us. And he said, because I've loved you and because I've forgiven you, now I'm in spirit, you're here in the flesh, and people need to see that my love is as strong today as it was the day that Jesus was put on the cross. It doesn't mean that you love the hateful, mean, sinful things that people do. And it doesn't mean you don't call your senators and your congressmen and contact them and harass the daylights out of them. But what it does mean is, friends, you cannot allow one moment of hate, anger to reside in your life. I've gone to bed angry. I know what the Bible says. You know, don't let the sun go down in your anger. Oh yeah, I've gone to bed angry, and guess what's happened? It starts immediately like battery acid. It starts corroding the love of God in Christ Jesus, and it just starts searing it away. And your words get an edge on them. And you get brittle, and you get tough. and you say, oh, and here's, here, you can tell someone who's leaning over that way, and don't get mad at me for saying this, but, you know, when you run into someone, they say, oh, there's no gray in my life, it's just black and white, that's the way it is. And it's like, ooh, and there's not as much love as there ought to be. You know, because, listen, you know, I've said this before too, I said, it's just black and white, right or wrong. It might be, Tony, if you knew all the facts, but only God knows those. And what you're calling right and what you're calling wrong, you have no idea. People can lie to you. How do you know that's right and wrong? How do you know it's black and white? How do you know what the real truth is? I've counseled enough people to know, buddy, you better take anything somebody says with a grain of salt, and you don't take weeks to start digging into that and find out what you heard the first week about the third or fourth or tenth week is not the same story. And if you really want to find out that maybe the truth is distorted, talk to the other person involved. And then you'll go out and take Advil, go see your doctor and get on medication, because it'll drive you crazy. And the point here is this. I'm not for sure when it comes to dealing with the issues of people that we have to know everything. What we have to do is our part. And if they're shooting us a line, if they're full of it, if they're whatever, that's not my problem. That's theirs before God. My problem is not to be tainted by it. And my problem is not to allow their stuff to become my stuff. Don't let somebody else's anger, somebody else's greed, somebody else's desire to rule, don't let that become your ethics, your character. Stand against it. Don't be changed. I have a responsibility to love, and to love, and to forgive as God loves and loves and loves and forgives me. Don't we all? I have a responsibility to present and live, promote the truth. I don't have to accept anything that's going on. I don't have to accept any. I don't have to like what people are doing, and I'll stand against it. I'll speak against it. But I've got to, listen to me, but I must do it. I must do it in righteousness. I must do it in love. I can have a righteous anger, but I better be sure that whatever I'm angry at is a righteous anger. Jesus, and people, you know, often bring up, well, Jesus got mad and kicked over all. That was a righteous anger. They were defiling God's temple. There's a time to do that. But if I go out and I'm just start wanting to beat the daylights out of somebody in the parking lot, that's not righteous anger. That's my flesh, and it got a hold of me, and I'm giving in to the world. I'm giving in to the devil. Everybody with me? So let's wrap this here on this point about going back and saying this. God loved us when we weren't lovable. That's what it says. And so here's the point. God loves you so much, He gave His only Son, Jesus Christ, just for you. That's how much He loves you. For those of you who think because bad things happen and maybe God doesn't love you as much, I find that bad things happen to people who are trying to serve the Lord. When Jesus, listen to me, when Jesus Christ is really, really being full in your heart, you will have opposition out here. There's people that you can just walk by and they just get gnarly. You know why? Because their spirit's evil and yours is righteous, because Christ in you, your hope of glory, is the Holy Spirit is coming out of you, and there's people just going to be turned off. You ever had anybody just being nasty to you and you're just going, what did I do? Haven't all of us? I mean, they're just rude. And you can tell. And so here's our human response. It's my response too. Somebody being rude to you and they're acting like, you know, and all of a sudden we're saying, well, you too. Right? I can't say things in here, but you know what I'm saying. Oh, you too. You know? And it feels good for a minute. It does. It really feels good to give one back, doesn't it? You know? Oh, you want to give some lip? You want some lip? I'll give you some lip. Okay. But the conquering thing The thing that conquers, that wins, that defeats that, is when you can stand there and keep smiling and keep being the Christ-centered person He put you here to be. They don't know what to do with you. And they'll hate you for it. But in the end, it might be the very thing that brings them to Christ. Don't you see? And you say, Tony, are you really able to do this 100% of the time? Are you kidding? But you know what I do? And I can tell you honestly, I try my best to do it 100% of the time. And if I could do it 100% of the time, I wouldn't be here. I'd be up there. And as long as I'm walking around in this, I have my moments. I have my moments. You don't believe that, I know. You look up here and you see this halo, right? Okay, well, maybe I'll stretch that. But anyway, you say, oh, He's got it together. I'll tell you what, I'm called to bring this word and tell you about the only one who has it together. And it's Him. And I sin. I get mad at people on the interstate. Really? Everybody said, really? Yeah, really? Yeah, that's my thing. I have to fight. That's my spiritual warfare battle on the interstate. And I don't know. Every Looney Tune in the country drives. Yeah, thank you, ma'am. I see that hand. Thank you for being. And yet, through it all, and the reason I'm saying this is through my mess ups and through my moments and through the times when I'm so mad. And it's like, do you get mad? You know, I was born into a family of mad. You know, I did. And you know, everybody was mad and cussing from the day I was born. And so that's my first language was cuss, not English. And so God has to deal with that and take that. And He's taken so much of that out. But still, He has to conquer it daily, and I have to give it to Him daily. But this is the point. In spite of that, God still loves me so much, He gave His only Son, Jesus. You see this? In spite of whatever your weaknesses are, He gave His only Son for you. He's not picking on you. And when bad things happen, listen, when this COVID thing first happened, I thought, here it is. See, I preach and teach this stuff for 30 some odd years. And what do? I turn around and I think, what did I do? What did I not preach right or live right? What did I mess up that you allowed this? Can you believe it? Yes, you can. Because how many of us do the same thing? It's human nature to say, I'm being punished. I messed up. God, and then, you know, and I've shared this with you before, but it's true. After this, God allowed this. He had a young man, he wanted to come up here and bring His word. And he had an older man, he wanted to sit down and get his attention. That's me. And he was doing a lot of other things. And he wanted to show me, Tony, I'm in control. I got this, and I got you, and I got everything. And he also showed me horse medicine's not that bad. Besides munching on a little bit of alfalfa, it works great. It's good stuff. Hey, I just found out this morning another MD is prescribing it. An MD, same thing. I went to the vet. You can go to the MD. Either one. Sorry. So, listen to this. By your faith, this is another point. You know, by your faith in Jesus, you never have to fear punishment. You never have to fear rejection. And you never have to fear abandonment, even if you're shaking your fist at drivers on I-10. You with me? You know why? Because God knows how human we are. And He made compensation for that by putting Jesus Christ on that cross. So I can continually put my sins on that cross. And say, I got mad today on I-10. Lord, I got mad at work, or whatever it is. Lord, this happened, or I thought these lustful thoughts, or I did this evil thing, or I wanted to hurt so-and-so. And we confess that, and God's saying, thank you. But Jesus Christ has already taken your punishment. He's taken the rejection that sin causes. He's taken the abandonment. You never have to fear this. And listen to me. As a Christian, you never have to fear the wrath of God because Jesus took that on the cross. He will discipline us. He will chastise us. But He won't throw His wrath on us. because Jesus took the wrath and punishment that we deserved. Everybody with this? Yes, we need that. We struggle with this. You know, get this guilt and this false guilt and all this stuff the devil uses to beat us down. And especially when people say to you, well, who do you think you are? I know your life. You're not perfect. You know, why do we defend that? We all have people done that, right? I've had people say, oh, I know your family. That's what they hit me with. I know your family. I know what was wrong with your mother. You know, I know how all that went. You know, and it's like, oh, you know, I used to get so defensive, you know. And then it's like God saying, why don't you just tell them the truth and say, you're right. And they'll just look at you, right? What? You're right. I grew up in a place like that. Can you believe Jesus Christ has me doing what he's doing? Look, he's changed me. Can you believe it? They're going to run from you as fast as they can run. Or they'll really listen and come to Christ. So many times, see, we're so used to defending our position, we forget to stand in his position that he's appointed us to. Godliness and holiness and righteousness. I don't have to defend my life. God does that. Scripture says when Jesus is insulted and all these things, he left his case in the hands of God. If somebody says, Tony, you're a hypocrite, you know what the truth is? I sure am. Well, aren't you? Isn't everybody in this room hypocritical at times? Yes. I'll get up here and tell you to take your vitamins and eat all this good food, which I really believe in, and I work hard to do that. And then I'll turn around and something will hit me and I confess my sins here this morning and I'll tell you, oh, eat lean meat, do all this. And then something happens. I don't know where it comes from. And I start drooling for a nasty double cheese, double meat burger with grease dripping off the bun and onions and lettuce and tomato. And I just want to sit and smell that aroma and give me a big old pile of French fries. This is Mr. Nutrition. And suddenly this evil thing comes about. And it's like, eat the fat. Eat the cholesterol. Eat the salt. And it's yes, yes, yes. Of course, you eat it. And then you're going, oh, yeah, every time. And for me, I'm just not used to it because I try to really eat. But I will do it. We all do it. And we have our moments. And yet, see? And we have our moments like that with all kinds of things. And Jesus Christ, God, through Christ, won't punish us for it. He might convict us in our spirit saying, I really have an appointed time. Would you not rush it? But he won't reject us and he won't punish us. You don't have to fear his wrath or his anger. I'm going to give you something else you never have to fear. And I want you to know, for me, this one's especially serious for me. God will never make fun of me. Are any of you really, really just attuned, really sensitive to people making fun of you? Does it bother you when somebody's talking behind your back, pointing a finger, and they're just making fun of you, making you feel like a fool? Does anybody have a problem with that? I do. I don't like it. I try hard not to be a fool. And God will never make fun of me. And he'll never beat me up, and he won't criticize me. And you know what he won't do? God won't talk behind my back, and he won't mock me and make fun at any time, ever. He'll never do that to any of you. God's got you back and he'll never let you down. He loves you unconditionally with no exception. So I need to close this. So let me hit this last point just rather quickly. It's over in Colossians, but you can make note of this. Please read all these passages. I only have time to give you a little. Read the whole thing so that you get the full deal. The full meal deal. Oh, I'm thinking burgers. I got to get off of that. I wish I never used that illustration. So, In Colossians chapter 2, beginning with verse 9, you need to hear this. You see, God loves you completely, but there's something else. You are complete in him. You're complete. Do you know this? Let me read this. This is good stuff. For it says in Christ, this is Colossians chapter 2, you can read it. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. And look at this word, see? You are complete. Did you ever catch it? You are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. Did you get that too? We're talking about completeness, but you need to grab the other part. You're complete through your union with Christ, and he's what? He's the head over every ruler and authority. That means he's the head over the devil. He's the head over all this. This is not going to go. Don't let your mind and all the naysayers out here take you somewhere you shouldn't be. He's the head. The evil has a limit, and we've seen it all through history. I don't know where the limit is yet, but we'll find out. And evil people will be destroyed. The righteous will be taken care of, and that's you. You just know that. But anyway, when you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by physical procedure. You say, what? Well, Christ performed a spiritual circumcision. He cut away the old nature from your heart. And he made you new in Christ, see? He says it, cutting away your sinful nature. And you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. Isn't this neat stuff? You gotta read this all the time. And it says you were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then what did God do? God comes in the scene, and what does he do? He made you alive through Christ, through your faith in Christ. See, your repentance, he forgave all your sins, you repented them. He said, I forgive you through Christ because you accept Jesus, my son, you accept me. And he canceled the record of charges against us, and he took it away by nailing it to the cross. So friends, you're sitting here and you feel condemned or whatever it is, get over it. He nailed it to the cross. God wants to see some happy people around here, joyful people, the joy of the Lord in their hearts. Get free. Get free. Fight for freedom. Go on here and fight for people who can't fight for themselves. But you got to be rid of your own enemies, your own little demons that lurk around all the time. All the accusations and all the guilt and the false guilt and the crud that the devil used. Give it to God. Because it says God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all, not some, all of your sins. And he canceled all these charges against you, the record of it, and then he took it away, nailed it to the cross. But look what it says. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. These evil things we can't see that we worry about, he's already disarmed them, and he shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. I hear people say, the devil's in control. He's only going to go so far. And he's not in control. He just thinks he is. Now get it. We need to get it in our hearts and through our heads. You need to share this with your friends. If he's so smart, why did he kill Jesus? That's the most stupid mistake he ever made. He's not very bright. He's just cunning, he's malicious, but not smart. Killing Jesus was a serious mistake. Think about it. So why do you fear somebody that goofy? You say, Tony, I'm just serious. It already tells me in the word here that he disarmed these spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them by his victory. He's done all this. So I take authority of Jesus' name and I stand against that devil and rebuke him. And you need to do the same thing. Rebuke him from us all. I bind you, devil. You're not going to win this. Jesus Christ, what you need to say, Jesus Christ is my Savior and Lord. And the blood of Jesus covers me and cleanses me from all sin and unrighteousness. Now, doggone it. I got to close this thing. Let me give you these notes real quick. You ready for them? Here we go. To experience, listen to me, to experience this completeness in Christ, well, then God, this is what, you've got to do this. You've got to begin to live in and for Christ completely. Many Christians say, Sunday's for God, maybe, you know, another day of the week or whatever, and the rest, I got to do this. No, you don't got to. Every day is God's day. Sure, you got to go to work. Sure, you got to do this. You got to do that. But in that, even at work, no matter what you're doing, why can't Jesus be Lord wherever you go? Why can't he's to own our body as his temple 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Too many people want to be Christians on Sunday and rather heathen the rest of the week. Live for themselves. A Christian can't live for themselves. You live for Christ, or you don't live at all. Jesus, without me, you can do nothing. So let's wrap this with no guilt, no shame in Christ. You give your life to Him. He's already given it to you. You give your life to Him. Listen, you can't live a half-complete life. You see, what does that mean? I came from a denomination whose focus was on get them saved. Get them saved. Get them saved. So you're going to ask Jesus in their heart. Okay, they're half complete. Right? Yeah, your name's written in heaven. But friend, your life's only half complete. To be saved, to ask Jesus in your heart, repenting of your sin, ask Him in your heart, and the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin, you're saved. But you're only half complete. The other part of completeness is when you give Him lordship of your body, of your mind, of your heart, of your thoughts, of your soul, your whole being, and you begin to let Him be the driving force, the God force in your life. That's when you're living completely. And so many Christians are miserable. They sit in church and they like the music. I don't like that. Because they're only half complete. He gave Himself for you, and He asked you to do what? And me to do what? If any man would come after me, any woman would come after me, let him deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and what? Follow me. Perfectly knowing we're not perfect, but boy, we got to go for it. And when we mess up, we confess it. It's all cleansed and forgiven. So listen, there's no guilt or shame in Christ. This is a summary. Wrap it up. No searching to find out who you are. You're complete. You don't have to hope you're good enough, or that you prayed enough, or that you studied enough, or that you sacrificed enough. It says you're complete in Him. You don't have to earn your way. Jesus paved the way for you. He earned it for you. God says you're complete when you receive Jesus in your heart. So let His completeness happen. Let it happen. Let go. Take Christ in your heart. Take Him into your soul. Take Him into your body and say, God, I'm yours. Have at it. Go. Do this thing. He gives you His Holy Spirit. He gives you His joy. He gives you His courage. He gives you His peace, His completeness. He's given Jesus Christ, who loves you and accepts you. And by the way, he took all your blame, all your guilt, because you believe in Him. So in Christ, you're fully equipped. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You have a gifting of the Holy Spirit. What are you waiting for? So I close with this passage. It won't be up here. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus said, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish. Neither will anyone ever snatch them out of my hand. My Father who given to me is greater than I am. He said, this is the thing. My people, they hear my voice. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and nobody can take them out of my or the Father's hands. He says, you're eternally secure. So get out here and start living. Live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let Jesus Christ in you be your hope of glory. He loves you. He gave it all for you. He's right here now. No, they will not win. Jesus Christ wins. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. Amen? Aren't you glad you came today? I'm glad you came today. All right. Let's close. Father, we love you. But Father, you love us. And you gave yourself for us. And we confess our sins, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And Father God, we're here in your grace, in your love, in your presence, your power. It's all about you. They will not win. And we declare this day that you've got this. And we put this in your hands. What is this? Whatever it is out there that's bothering us. In our government, in our society, in our schools, in our churches, work, wherever it is. We put it in, God, you got it. Would you just take it, win the victory, and use us to do whatever part you want us to whatever role to play, whatever part we're supposed to be in. Just do it. We give you ourselves, our bodies, our hearts, our spirit, soul, mind, will, and emotion. Just take us and use us and protect us. And God, send it right now as we go out from this place. Just send us out there and use us to bring honor and glory to your name. And we love you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.